group of islands in the west who lived on Ithaca. Able to return home at last, he launched his ships on the water and then vanished. Thus sang the poets of the banquets, embroidering their tales with little human touches, great deeds of the gods, and poetic flights. It was the greatest of these singers of tales who, inspired by the muse, told how he matched his wit and cunning against innumerable perils to reach his home at last. And it is this story that we will begin after this brief pause.
Before returning to our program, I'd like to tell you of a special magazine called Audiobill. Audiobill is a listening guide for The Odyssey, giving background information on Homer, ancient Greece, the production, and the players. Funded by the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation, this illustrated souvenir program is free to all interested listeners. You need only call National Radio Theater toll-free, and we will send you a copy by mail. Our toll-free number is 1-800-621-2373. In Illinois, call collect 312-751-1733. If you don't have a pencil and paper handy right now, we'll be repeating this information later in the program. Copies are limited, so call for your Odyssey audio bill soon. Principal support for the following stereo production has been provided by the National Endowment for the Humanities. And now, the National Radio Theater presents Irene Wirth, Shepard Strudwick, Barry Morse, and John Glover in The Odyssey of Homer.
Tell me, O that resourceful man who sacked the holy citadel of Troy, and then was made to wander far and wide. He saw and learned the ways of many men, weathered many trials upon the sea, as he fought to save his own dear life, and to bring his men back home. But not a one was saved. Like reckless children angering the gods who took away their safe return, the fools destroyed themselves. And so, immortal goddess, daughter of Zeus, start the story where you please, and tell the tale.
Others, those escaping death at war and on the sea, were home and safe, all but Odysseus. For 10 years his way was barred by the god Poseidon, whose monstrous son Odysseus had blinded. Longing for wife and home, he was prisoner of the queenly nymph Calypso, radiant goddess in her hollow caves, for she wanted him to be her husband. When in the course of time, the year of his destined return arrived, not even then was he free of troubles, or home safe among his kinsmen.
But Poseidon still raged against noble Odysseus and gave him trouble until he reached his own land at last.
Go on, mortal! Wander the deep and suffer more! And even after you are rescued, I do not think you will speak lightly of your misfortune.
O shaker of the earth! The time has come to send Odysseus home, but still you fill his cup with suffering. You had sworn to cause him many trials, but let him reach his home at last. Poseidon, your great revenge is now fulfilled, so give me leave to bring him back, in the way the fates decree. Late and full of cares, bereft of his men and in a ship of strangers. And then he'll spread your fame, and mortal men will know to fear your anger and your...
Athena! It is not for you to tell me what I ought to do. Let's speak no more. My chariot is here. I'll take the reins, my friend. I'm going out to see the Ethiopians and accept sweet sacrifice of bulls and rams at their festival. Athena, well I know that you protect this man, Laertes' son. But have no mind to thwart my will and power. Ha!
One day, Poseidon quit the lofty summit of Olympus to receive great honor in a distant land.
And while he was gone, the other gods met in the halls of Olympian Zeus.
And Zeus himself was first to speak. Look how mortal men blame the gods. They say we bring them evil, when in fact it's their own folly that brings trouble upon them beyond their portion. Thus Aegisthus took Agamemnon's lawful wife and killed her husband at his homecoming. He did this in spite of watchful Hermes, whom we sent to tell him neither to kill the man nor pursue the woman. Hermes warned him that Orestes would grow up to avenge his father, but he couldn't sway Aegisthus for all his pains, and now the man has paid the full price for all.
Father, son of Cronus, highest of the high. That man Aegisthus indeed lies in a death he deserved. May the same fate greet all such men. But my heart is torn for wise Odysseus, unlucky man, who languishes on a sea-girt isle far from his friends. There a goddess restrains him and tries to beguile him into forgetting Ithaca, his home. Odysseus, who despairs of ever seeing heart smoke rise above his own land again, yearns only to die. And you, Olympian, your heart does not heed this. Didn't Odysseus, by the Achaean ships, make abundant sacrifice to you on the Trojan plain? Why then are you so angry with him?
Daughter, what words are these that escape the fence of your teeth? How could I forget godlike Odysseus, wisest of men, and most mindful of his duty to the deathless gods? Oh, it's Poseidon who rings the world, not I, who rages still with quenchless anger. From the day Odysseus blinded his son, the Earthshaker has pursued him, not killing the man, but making him wander far from his own land. But come, let those of us here present work out how Odysseus may at last reach home. Poseidon will have to put away his rage, since alone he cannot strive against us all.
Father, son of Cronus, highest of the high, if truly this thing pleases the blessed gods, let us send Hermes, our messenger, to the nymph's island. There let him quickly tell the fair-haired goddess of our judgment to release ingenious Odysseus, and let him return to his own land.
It shall be done, just as you suggest.
As for me, I will go to Ithaca to put heart in Odysseus' son Telemachus. So she spoke, and bound beneath her feet her beautiful sandals, golden, ageless, that speed her like the wind across the earth. She took her bronze-tipped spear, stout and strong, with which she quells whole armies of her foes. Then down she swooped from the heights of Olympus, until she came to land in Ithaca before the courtyard of Odysseus' gate. Grasping the brazen spear in her hand, she took the guise of a stranger in form and voice. Mentes, the tapeworm.
There in the front courtyard, she found the haughty suitors playing draughts and lounging on hides of the oxen that they themselves had killed. Of their attendants, some were mixing wine and others making ready for a feast.
Careful!
Please, don't. Telemachus, what are you sitting there for? Now, can't you stay out of our way?
Pay him no mind, Antinous. Continue the game.
Telemachus, son of Odysseus, was the first to see the stranger. He sat among the suitors with a heavy heart, daydreaming of his father, of how someday he might return, scatter the suitors, and in honor resume lordship of his land and goods. For now, alone, he could say and do nothing. With these thoughts in his mind, as he was sitting among the suitors, he saw the stranger and went to him. Welcome, stranger and guest. Come in and enjoy our hospitality.